Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The fast has ended, and today is a festival of joy. What seemed like utter defeat on Friday is proclaimed to be victory. Today, the Amen is proclaimed to you that you now stand righteous before the throne of God. Your sin has been atoned for. You are no longer God's enemy. No, you are his redeemed. You are his saints. Today is the day of resurrection. Sound the trumpets, unfurl the banners, proclaim with bold alleluias the triumph of your King who has conquered sin, death, and the devil. Dear people of God, rejoice this day at the sight of the empty tomb. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is your day because of your Lord Jesus, and so shall that final day be when your grave will burst open and be empty as well. This is yours today, dear baptized, for Jesus is crucified and risen just as he said. And so together we sing.
Reconciled is God my Lord, the gates of heaven are open. My Jesus did triumph and die, and Satan's arrows broken lie, destroyed hell's fiercest weapon. Oh, hear what cheer Christ victorious, rising glorious, life is giving. He was dead, but now is living.
And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." So every year when we hear this account of our Lord's resurrection from any of the gospel writers, this image is before us, and it's quite a sight. But this sight of Easter morning is something that none of you have seen. You've seen loved ones buried in graves, and you go to where their bodies lay, only there is no young man sitting dressed in a white robe telling you not to be alarmed as the grave is empty. That's because you're still on this side of glory. You still see death, but you don't see resurrection. Tombs in your lives, they're still occupied. And that's why in your sin this Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord, it's hard to believe, because it goes against everything you see and experience in your lives. And the devil knows this. Boy, does he ever. And he capitalizes on it. He wants your experiences. He wants your senses, what you can see, what you can hear, what you can touch. He wants that to determine your life in this world and how you live it and how then, in turn, you view God. Even in this gospel reading, you see the reaction of the women. We're told, and they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, what exactly this meant, it doesn't fully say, but one can gather from the text that they're pretty shaken up. Frail flesh, frail sinful flesh has a way of doing that. It doesn't expect things like the resurrection, even when Jesus himself told them on more than one occasion, and even the entire Old Testament was pointing to that fact and said this would happen. No, when you see death, when you see bodies laid in tombs or lowered into the ground, you just assume they're going to stay there. And then if they're not there, someone or something must have taken it. But this is where the resurrection of Jesus preaches to you something extraordinarily different and foreign in this world and your own fallen understanding. It preaches, first and foremost, that all that Jesus said, all that he spoke, all that he did, it was true. And he accomplished what he set out to do. And Joe, just as we heard on Good Friday, it really is finished. Your sin is atoned for, and you are justified before God on account of him. So Jesus is no lunatic or liar, to borrow from C.S. Lewis. Jesus is the real deal. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he makes good on those promises that he made to people. He said he would be crucified. He said on the third day he would rise from the dead. And that's exactly what he did. And the second proclamation is that Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's that great resurrection chapter, and we had a little snippet of that in our epistle reading. But also in that chapter, it states this: "And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead." So what this means then is the resurrection of Jesus is only the beginning. In Matthew's account of Jesus' death, it says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." So even at the point when Jesus died, when he died on the cross, there was still this proclamation of the people that the death of Jesus means something. It's earth-shattering, or rather, it's tomb-shattering. Now, after the resurrection of Jesus, you behold him risen from the dead, and you see the Lord will raise up the dead on the last day. We confess that on all of the creeds. On the last day, when the Lord returns in glory to judge the living and the dead, all souls and bodies will be reunited. Even unbelievers will rise from their graves. They, though, will bodily go to everlasting punishment. Believers, Christians, will bodily go into everlasting life, because it's a physical thing and not simply spiritual. But we will rise from our graves and be with the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth that he will create. And on that day and in that place, there will be no more sin, no more of its consequences like sickness, suffering, and death, temptation and the crafts and assaults of the devil, persecution and scoffing of Christ, his church, and his word. Those things will be no more. That day, the day of resurrection, will be a glorious day. And it can't come soon enough. The church prays for the Lord to return. In the Lord's Supper, in 1 Corinthians 11, it tells you that for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Still, being in this world, though, the Lord doesn't leave you without consolation and hope. He doesn't rise from the dead and says, "Have fun, guys, see how things go in this life." In fact, it's far from that. Jesus speaks those words of peace as you hear of his death for you and resurrection from the dead, proclaiming that you stand righteous before the throne of God. Your Lord has baptized you into himself. So all that is his death, all that is his resurrection, all that is his life and forgiveness, that covers you with all that he has done. So that when sin stares you its ugly head in your life, or the devil with his beady little eyes tries to accuse you as being outside of God's kingdom, or tries to lie to you to get you to doubt these things, you boldly declare, "I am baptized." And with all the boldness spoken by the young man in the gospel reading who said, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." You have that same confidence to know what you have. And yes, as you face death, or the death of those in Christ whom you love, you have that same Easter boldness and confidence too. And you have a new life in Christ even as you go through this world. In Romans 6, that great baptismal chapter, which connects the death and resurrection of Jesus with our baptism, the work that God has done, we hear, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." So dear Christians, gather this morning and listen to your Lord. Listen to the proclamation that the crucified one is risen. And rejoice in what a day this is indeed. The gradual for this Sunday of the church year, which the choir beautifully sang a few minutes ago, has that psalm which you often hear people quote. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And it's often quoted in terms of each day in this life that God gives to us. And while that it's true, it's even far greater and really gives meaning to each day that the Lord does grant to you. Because that psalm, that verse, is a prophecy of this day. God was pointing his people, pointing us to this day that he has made, the day of resurrection. And really, all of Holy Week is in that psalm as well. Right before that verse of the psalm, two verses before it, it proclaims, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And then right after that, it is said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." So this day, the day of resurrection, is the day that the Lord has made. And who did he make it for? Well, he's made it for you. So what a joyous day indeed. Jesus is crucified and risen. This text in Mark is more vivid than the translation of the ESV, the English Standard Version, we heard a few minutes ago. The grammar here shows that he still is the crucified one and has risen. Both of those statements are true, and thanks be to God, because this is your redemption that God has won for you, and you have this very day. So have the confidence of Job, who amid all of his suffering would confidently say, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me." So as you gather this morning and you hear that your Lord's tomb was indeed empty and he is risen, know what you have. Know what your future holds. Yes, this is an extraordinary day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus is risen, and everything changes. Everything in this world has new meaning. So even as you face death, you know the end of the story for you. Because Jesus is risen, and so shall you. Your sin is forgiven, and you have eternal life. Behold the resurrection of Jesus, and fear not your sin, the devil, hell, nor death in its sting. See Jesus crucified and risen for you, and cling to those words of the epistle reading telling you what is to come. Cling to them as a burr sticks to a wool coat. Look at the graves of those you love who died in Christ, and yes, even as you think about your own grave, hold before your eyes those words of what has been done and what will be. Eternal life is yours. And it's not just some spiritual thing. It's not just some metaphor. It's not just some pious thought, but it's real, it's physical, it's eternal life, and it's with the Lord and all of his people forever. Because death has been defeated. It no longer has a claim over you. You are baptized into Christ, and his victory of life over death is your victory. And your whole body has been redeemed by God, who made atonement for your sin. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. That's what the resurrection of Jesus preaches to you this day. So embrace it. Hold fast with what you have, even now in this life. You've been set free as a Christian. And see the world differently now because of who you are in Jesus. You know the things of this world are temporary, but God's word is eternal. And as you go through this dying world, you will no longer slave to it, but you're a new creation in Christ who will not pass away. So you know that as terrible as things may get here, or even as good as they may be, your future is beyond compare. Your future is a future of life. What a boldness to live this life because Jesus is crucified and risen. Everything around you, with all of its fury, with all of its suffering, and all of its misfortune, you shrug off. Why? Because Jesus is risen and you know what you have in him. Even death for you is something to not be feared, because just as the tomb couldn't hold him, it can't hold you. Death has been overcome and lost its sting. So when you face death and the death of a Christian, you can mock it. You can look it square in the eye and say, "What a wimp you are, death. What a total loser. You have lost, because the tomb of Christ is empty. And I'm covered with him who has done this, for I am baptized, and I will live forever. Even if death should come to take me, I will live. And even when my body is laid into my grave, and my soul goes to be with Jesus, and even though my body may lay there in decay, the Lord will raise it up on the last day to immortality and incorruption, and in my own flesh, like Job, with my own two eyes that he has given me, I will see God face to face." So be silent, death. You've been conquered. Christ has done it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what a day. Celebrate the resurrection of your Lord. The victory is yours, and that's an eternal victory in body and soul. What a joy this day. Awake your heart with gladness. Your sin is forgiven, and you are an heir of eternal life. Feast this Easter day on Christ, the bread of heaven. The word of grace has purged away the old and evil leaven. The scriptures have been fulfilled. Jesus did it just as he said he would. And he promises you that you are his and you will be with him forever. You are safe from evil. You are to laugh, to scorn sin. The devil and hell have been defeated. And death can't scare you because it's lost its sting. Its power is gone. And even if it might trick you to panic and thinking that it has, its words are empty. They're meaningless. They have no power. See your body and know it has been redeemed by Christ and will be raised just as Jesus is. And you will see him face to face in the joys of paradise. This is the gospel of Easter. This is what your Lord preaches to you this day. And this is all for you. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.